Blog Talk Radio.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material compositions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers. The strivers. The builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark murdering armies whose only honor.
1876. We're listening to the
renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We will surrender full forces. We have an explosion and we are defending immediately. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
In the councils of government.
Dr. Peter Ventura on Easter Sunday. Well, it's not really Easter, according to Dr. Peter Ventura. That's what he told us last night. And he read some scripture there to try to back it up. And he kind of had a flea on me there at the end there. We got some tough questions asked, and you know, he answered a couple of them the best he could, and then he had to go. So, which I understood, you know, he kind of wanted to cut the preaching down a little bit because some people had some questions, but he went on a little bit farther than he wanted to, and that's fine. It was his show to do what he wanted to do with. But, you know, it's religion is a very, or God or whatever have you, is, look, well, most wars are fought over this. You know, people are passionate about it. People are willing to die for it. So why not talk about it as much as you possibly can? People don't want to, though. They don't want to deal with the truth. They want to hide from the truth. And yeah, I mean, surely everybody out there that's listening tonight, when you're in a conversation with somebody, what's the golden rule? Or at a picnic or at a barbecue or at a store, what's the golden rule? Don't talk about politics or religion, right? We kind of got the politics. Everybody's, you know, we did with the politics. Everybody's talking about that, and we saw what's happening. The country's divided in half, and everybody wants to kill each other, you know. And I say the next step would be religion, and that's going to be addressed here in the end times, and this is the end times. I questioned that with Peter last night. You know, you have to look around and look at what's happening around the world and really understand that the United States is on its way out. We could try to restore the republic. We could do all we want. You could try to stand up against the new world order. You can do whatever, you know. You can get all your guns together and go storming to stampeding to Washington, D.C., and you're not going to accomplish anything. You're not going to win. You're not going to change the world. Man has been trying to change the world ever since his 6,000 years of history here, from the biblical perspective. Tower of Babel, you know. Built a tower, we're going to build it up to heaven, and we're going to get to God, right? Man's building a tower, and what did God, whoa, what the hell are they doing down there? We're scattering them all abroad, you know? Took their languages, and everybody couldn't talk no more, because they all spoke one language. So they all got together, and we're going to outsmart God. That's what we're doing today. We're going to outsmart God. So now what we're going to do is we're going to kill off half the population of the earth through this phony virus. And which I don't think there was ever any virus. I think it was just a bad case of the flu. But what they did was they threw a couple strains out there to make it worse than what it was. In my opinion, that's what it was. Now they're going to kill you through the vaccination. That's what they're going to do. And when I say they, I mean the people that control the money, control, basically make all the important decisions, and want more and more and more, and they want ultimate control. Because when you have all the money in the world, and you can bypass all the laws, and you're above everything, and above it all, and you really don't mingle in society, you know, you're in your little castles there, and your little underground bunkers, or wherever the hell these elites live. And, you know, I mean, how many people really see Bill Gates or I mean, he's not an elitist, but he's up there in the New World Order. But, you know, how many people really, you know, he doesn't go to McDonald's with his kids. His kids aren't on Facebook. Look it up. He wouldn't dare let his kids go on Facebook or Twitter. You know, he probably doesn't even use Windows for all we know. You know, so these guys, these people, they're not out there with, you know, we're the slaves. We got to obey. But they like playing the game, you know. They like playing a little game. And that game is, you know, control. Well, they pretty much, and they're always, and they're seeking what they're convinced by the devil, evil. They're seeking ultimate eternal life. And they can't find it. You know, they think they just can't get it. They're trying to clone human beings. They're trying to do this, do that, you know, clone sheep. And they can't figure it out. They're not going to be able to create life. They're creating robots now. You see this robot? What is it? Sophia. This robot Sophia. Anyone heard about that? Sophia? The robot Sophia? Look that one up. She's a woman. Looks exactly like a woman. Yeah, same expression, skin, everything. Talks. There's nobody with a remote control standing behind it. There's no, you know, it doesn't have no program. It's a computer brain inside of a make-like human, okay, that's collecting data and information to get smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter. Okay? That's what it's doing. And you should see this thing. Just go out on YouTube. They got YouTube videos of it and everything. This thing's having interviews with people, talking to people. There's no, you know, it's crazy. It's insane. And the scientists, yeah. I think this is a good thing. We're going to create robots. You know, what's the purpose, really, of creating these robots? Really, what is the purpose? I'll give you a little clue at the end, but with my introduction here. But you know, the control, again, back to control. They want to eliminate. How many people have mysteriously died because of this COVID? I don't know anybody who's died from the COVID, but I know more people have died from the vaccination and gotten sick and whatnot. And the thing of it is that. You look throughout the history of just, say, your lifetime or this last generation, and look at all the big names that were supposed to be alive and whatnot. Look at Bernie Madoff. Where's he at? Where's Bernie at? But we just forgot about him, right? I mean, you know, he was all over the news for a long time. Where did he go? Try to look it up in a federal prison. Where he's at? You can't find him. You know, the people just disappear. You know, so it's just one of those little thinking points there. Try to find him. Don't ask Fox News or CNN because you won't get the truth there. But, you know, anyway, they want control for this New World Order. But you're not going to defeat the New World Order, basically, without God. And God does always say if you turn to God, turn from, you know, your ways and you repent, you know, he'll heal his nation, the nation and whatnot. And that's not going to happen. Come on. We'd have to stop abortion. Okay, we'd have to return prayer to schools. We'd have to go all the way back to basically 1776. That's not going to happen because you don't have 1776 people here living here right now. You don't have them. You have 2021 Mexicans, 2021 Africans. They don't believe in the European culture. They don't buy it. They say we didn't have a seat at the table. We don't like it. We don't accept it. We don't like America. We don't like what you stand for. Not every single one of them, but the majority of them do. So that's because it's been pounded into them since the beginning to what? Hate us, hate white people, hate that system, discriminate against them as much as possible, alienate them, and we've helped contribute to this. We have. I don't care if you disagree or not. We have. But it doesn't mean we go give them everything for free either. We don't go put them on a pedestal and worship them either. We don't. No. You earn your way up. You earn your way up to the top. And that's not capitalism, and that's not nationalism either. So you know, that's just what I took from the Dr. Peter Ventura's message last night. As far as, but you know, Dr. Peter Ventura, you know, and one of the biggest problems people have with people that come out and preaching, I have found from the comments and the emails and just listening to what people have to say, is that, you know, these preachers don't practice what they preach. These churches are supposed to be role models. They're supposed to be examples, pillars of the community. They're not. They're not. You know, they're out for the money, for their stature. You know, they're like a politician. But what's the purpose of those robots? Let's see. Let me give you an answer right here. Let's listen to this real quick. Yeah, Terminator. Go back to Hollywood. How did Hollywood know about them creating these robots? How did Hollywood know they were going to create these robots? All remember Terminator, the original Terminator now. Now I'm talking about the new ones, the advanced versions. Go back to 1987 when the first one came out. 1987. They had robots walking around back then. Barely used remote control cars. So, Hollyweird. Where did they get their messages from? Oh, they get it from the dark side. I assure you of that. They get it from who? Could it be Satan? I don't know. But anyway, that message last night from Dr. Peter Ventura was very interesting. Like I said, a lot of questions were asked, and one of the questions was actually why don't, I don't go to church. One person made a comment saying I don't go to church because it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that's a silly comment to make because, I mean, do you go to the grocery store? Yes. Do you go, I mean, you know, it's filled with hypocrites there, right? You say you can't use that center. You go to church to have build a relationship with God, and hopefully you meet good people in there, and you have a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and you make some good friends that believe in the same God that you believe in, and try to help out your community or whatnot. That's what church is really for. But most churches are in apostasy today, so they've fallen away. They're 501c3, and I went over that many years ago. With 501c3, they can only preach certain ways, but the government's not enforcing it yet. But they will, they are, and they will soon. So anybody who's got any questions or comments, the phone number is 657-383-0616. I'll take live callers. I know last night the phone board was lit up, and everybody's trying to call in, and we got some crank callers that called in last night. And that's what aggravates me, and they do it on purpose. See, when I have a guest, they all blow up my show and want to call in and attack the guest. But when I do live open phones or something like that, you don't get the calls, the call volume. And I don't know if Blog Talk's doing that or if there's just trolls out there just monitoring the show and do what they usually do, try to divide by anger and whatnot and confusion. So, and I think Sarge put it pretty good last night. They got plenty of money to throw around George Soros and all them dirtbags. But let's see, so a couple new talking points then I'll read about and go from there and see what happens. And tonight, I didn't make it over to the NSM last night. I had some other stuff to do. I didn't make it over to Harry Hughes' show. I listened, but I didn't get a chance to get over there. But tonight, the NSM will be on tonight again. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you want to listen to them, the National Socialist Movement, their party there. Remember, they have a rally coming up April 16th, 17th, and 18th there in Phoenix, Arizona. So usually Bert's called in here plenty of times. Some other people have from their show over there. And they got a pretty good show. They talk, make some good points. They talk about the border on Sunday nights with Harry. And, you know, tonight they'll have I forgot the guy's name, actually. Norris. Norris is on there. He's pretty good. He'll take your calls. If you want to call in over there after 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the phone number over there will be 516-453-6058. So, the National Socialist Movement, like I said, I'm really a Constitution guy. I support the Constitutional Republic, restoring the Republic, and that's what I really do support. But I do agree with a lot of the points and factors of the National Socialist Movement and what they stood for, or stand for, excuse me. All right, so let's see here. What's the biggest story here? We got to go off here. Let's see here. Mother of six executed in road rage. How about that, huh? Insane. People are insane. And look at this. Listen to this. A male suspect has been arrested in the brutal murder of a 47-year-old woman on a highway in North Carolina on Thursday, my home state, North Carolina. According to reports, Dijuan R. Floyd. Another Floyd. of Lumberton, North Carolina. Lumberton. Lumberton has always, I tell you, they're constantly down there having problems with the sheriffs and whatnot. I don't know why. Maybe it's something in the water. I don't know. Lumberton, North Carolina has been charged with first-degree murder and discharging a weapon into an occupied property. Now, why do they got to word it like that? Just say it, what he did. He pointed his gun into a car and killed people. That, you know, we have crazy words. All right, following the death of Julie Eberle, 47, of Manahan, Pennsylvania, Miss Eberle was shot as she and her husband traveled southbound on I-95 at approximately 11:40 a.m. on Thursday. Oh, boy. The investigation revealed a road rage encounter unknowingly developed after the victim's GMC Yukon came close to the suspect's Chevrolet Malibu during a merge into a lane. The Robeson County Sheriff's Office explained on social media. The suspect then pulled to the victim's passenger side window, rolled down his window, and fired multiple shots into the passenger door. Witnesses stated that the suspect then drove off and exited at exit 22. The victim's vehicle then pulled over on I-95 and waited for medical assistance. The Eberles were reportedly headed to Hilton Head, South Carolina, to celebrate their wedding anniversary at the time of the incident. Some guy just shot into my car. My wife was hit, Ryan said. Keep breathing, Julie, honey. Breathe. Floyd apparently became angry when the Eberle vehicle came too close to his and discharged his weapon. I saw his eyes last night. He definitely doesn't have any care, Sheriff Burness Wilkins said. I was there this morning just after midnight when we arrested him and took to look at the cold face that he's got. He's nonchalant. I don't care that I'm getting arrested. Look, I can only imagine what those folks saw out there on I-95 when he looked over and shot. It actually makes you angry. This is one of those cases that you hear about that had this man been locked up, which is where he should have been, would have been, Julie Eber would have been on their vacation. Well, you can't say let's see, let's go a little bit more here. Is there any more to that? He should have been locked up. Well, he didn't do nothing yet. I mean, he should be locked up now. You know, he should get the death penalty. You know, if he did it and he admits to it, because apparently it sounds like he's admitting to it because he doesn't care. You know, you admit to it, you know, and he's not mentally retarded or anything like that, mentally handicapped. Can't say retarded anymore because that's the reason why people are doing these things, because we live in such a screwed up society that, you know, we can't deal with the facts, can't talk about things anymore. He should get the death penalty. This is where capital punishment is justified, I believe. And you take a life and you do it, you know, in a premeditated fashion such as that, you know, attack innocent person for no particular reason whatsoever. Now, if it's in a case of self-defense, I mean, if they were trying to ram their car into his and they were got out and got into a fight and they got, you know, and he pulled out a gun and he shot the guy or, you know, then, hey, then you have to, you know, go into the details, see what really happened. But I'm just saying that I wouldn't agree with capital punishment then because, hey, you know, hey, America's a land of sudden death. Anything can happen anytime. But, no, this is the disgusting criminal act right here. And, of course, they don't point out one very key factor here, folks, and that's why I picked this story here, that the man is black and the victim is white. Hey, imagine if a white guy did this to a black couple, which I hope and pray it never happens. Don't do it. I don't condone violence, but imagine if that happened. It would be all over the news. There would probably be riots going on. They'd be marching in Lumberton, North Carolina, and the white man would get the bad end of the spectrum again. Just imagine if that was the other way. Now, you know what I'm saying is true. You know it. You know, so these are the things that we have to fix. Got to knock it off. But this is disgusting. Disgusting story. I mean, it's just terrible. That the guy really, he should not spend life in jail. He should. Now they report, you know, he was nonchalant and everything. You know, look, This is, remember, this is a news article I'm reading to you. I'm going based upon what they said. Now, you know, do we really know the facts? Well, we have to go back. I don't read the police report. I wasn't there. So I can only go by what's being reported. So, and I'm not trying to take away from what actually happened either. But you got to remember, you can't trust some of these stories that you get out there nowadays. But it's coming from a reliable news source. I mean, it's pretty reliable. I'll take calls here in a second. Let's see here. Pick out another one here. Oh, boy. Excuse me. Prosecutors asked jurors dismissed. No, we don't want that one. I'm sick and tired of talking about that George Floyd, to be honest with you. Let's see. That article's not ready. FBI raids business renting anonymous safety deposit boxes, forces customers to reveal identity to get their stuff back. Well, I mean, you know, anybody can walk in there and say, it's my box. I mean, what are you going to do, you know? I mean, everybody's scamming everybody now. There's a backdoor secret, a trick, and a scam around everything you do. I don't blame the cops for doing that right there. That's one time I stick up for the cops again, you know? I mean, say, you got to verify it. I mean, and then if they don't verify it, somebody takes somebody else's property, then the cop gets sued, you know, instead of going after the guy that stole it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Anyway, Trump wishes Easter to radical left crazies who rigged our election. It's uncalled for. You know, President Trump issued an Easter message blasting the radical left crazies who want to destroy our country. Happy Easter to all, including the radical left crazies who rigged our presidential election and want to destroy our country, Trump said in a statement on Sunday. Trump's remarks come as several corporations like Major League Baseball, Delta, Coca-Cola, others condemned Georgia's push for voter ID elections. Trump called for a boycott of those companies last week, telling Republicans to fight back against woke cancel culture. Well, let's see, 74 million people voted for Donald Trump. There's probably 80 million conservatives in this country. If every single one of them didn't watch baseball, I guarantee you, they would feel it. You know, and this is where conservatives don't stick up for each other. So it is finally time for Republicans and conservatives to fight back. Really? We have more people than they do. By far, boycott Major League Baseball, Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, JP Morgan Chase, Viacom, CBS, Citigroup, Cisco, UPS, and Merck. Don't go back to their products until they, relent. We can play the game better than them. So how many people out there are going to boycott Coca-Cola starting tomorrow? Come on. How many? I bet you there's not one. All right, let's see here. Any calls here tonight? I got 2, 3, 4, 5 private callers. No, those are I already know what they're about. I'm not even going to take them. You know what I told you last night about how to handle things with the private calls. If you're somebody that I think I know, then you know how to get a hold of me and send a message where you want to get on, because I'm not going to ruin my intro there on that one. What I'm going to do is then, since I don't have any numbers that I recognize, and I'm going to be getting ready here in 30 minutes for the NSM, I'll put the number out there again, 657-383-0616. Press 1, and I'll get you on the podcast here. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. If not, I'm going to play my short documentary here that I have lined up. And like I've been doing here, I got to get another one up here soon, because I think this is the last one I got available. I'll play this one. And we'll go with this one here. I think this is an older one, but it kind of compares to what today's is. It's 17 minutes long, and that should take us right through. And then if anybody puts their hands up, I'll stop it and take your calls, all right? Understanding the times which we live today.
We are being baptized into slavery. We are being initiated into total tyranny. A psychiatric / police state grid, where if you're seen yelling at your children, they're taken. Not even a law. Not even real courts set up under the eugenics courts. What courts do you think issued orders to have people sterilized in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s? Over 500,000 women in the U.S. The eugenics courts. You know them as the family courts. You know them as that system where the judge and the CPS, no jury. To protect the children, there's no jury. Can't trust the citizens. They say we decide yelling at your children. Now, yelling at your wife. London Telegraph. France to criminalize shouting at your wife. Married couples could be arrested and charged for insulting each other under new law in France banning psychological violence. But if police dogs want to bite old ladies coming out of a shopping mall with bags in their hands and hit crowds with sound cannons, that's okay. The violence intensifies on television, the murder, the tyranny, the corruption, the images, the dehumanization. But then if a child in art class is asked to draw a picture of their parents, they draw a picture of their father who's a police officer with a gun, the child is arrested and put under psychiatric care. That's in the news every week. Again, they put out these messages, and then when people buy into it, oh, you can play video games where you're slaughtering and killing and butchering people, where you run false flag attacks. Like the new number one video game on store shelves. That's all okay. You can love Jack Bauer on TV when he tortures someone's child to get answers and stops L.A. from being nuked. You can love the Army's report where they admit they rape children in front of their parents in camps all over the world. That's good. They can body scan your little children and your wife and save their naked images and use the biometric body scan however they want. That's good. But don't you raise your voice. I told you, everything going on in the public schools is what is being rolled out worldwide for adults. More than 15 years ago, the federal government began in grants and studies and training to tell schools to ban. And the insurance companies that gave them insurance said, ban running, ban dodgeball, ban catch, ban tag, ban you're it, ban talking, ban hugging, ban shaking hands, ban everything. Put them on Prozac, put them on Ritalin. But you don't want to put your children in the government training camps. You don't want them to be taught all these bizarre sexual practices at age 7. You don't want them to be questioned about what's in mommy and daddy's medicine cabinet. Do mommy and daddy raise their voice? You don't want them to be shown cartoons that show polar bears and penguins drowning and to come home with little mock ticket books writing you tickets, mock tickets for the offenses of taking a hot bath or leaving the sink water on while you brush your teeth. That's in the news every day, the media praising children all over the U.S. coming home with federally written programs to tattle, and they're training to be the spies. I told you 6 years ago the feds had taken over the Boy Scouts with the Explorer Scouts for training them for gun confiscation and part of AmeriCorps, Secure Corps. Told you that 8 years ago, actually. It was first in the Philadelphia Daily News. How great it was. Then the New York Times shows Explorer Scouts training with guns, and it showed photos, scores of color photos of the dead U.S. veterans who refused to turn their guns in. They put it in the newspaper. It's hellish in your face. They're going for broke. They're dropping the bomb on us right now. They're moving in right now. And then the L.A. Times reports 2 weeks ago, oh, the L.A. Police Department, other departments around the country, they're running with the Pentagon. Public schools will now be Pentagon centers run by the Army and police. And we want the troubled youth, yes, the thugs. That's what the Nazis did and the Soviets and the Maoists did. And it says, oh, the police departments are taking over the Boy Scouts. They no longer will even run it. The police departments will openly run these divisions with children training as literal Hitler Jugend. And so you don't want to put your children in school. Folks, if I knew what I knew now, and of course I wouldn't have been in public school. I went to public school. I went to public school in kindergarten in the first grade in a bad part of Dallas. Then, and I remember them bringing in the fluoride pills we all had to eat. I remember getting a huge headache and throwing up every time they did it, every month. It wasn't placebo. It wasn't psychosomatic. I thought it was candy. I wanted it. I remember getting sick with those red pills, a dose that they admit is incredibly toxic, thousands of times what's in a pitcher of water. And then I remember my parents putting me in a Christian school until the sixth grade, and they put me back in public school. And I got off that school bus, and I walked into that public school, and kids with mustaches in the sixth grade, kids who were 13, 14 years old, who'd flunked four or five times, began beating me up, and the teachers wouldn't do anything. And sure, it made me tough. And I remember the vicious social behavior and the kids competing for the shoes and clothes they wore and the vicious social engineering. And it was, it's a lot worse now. You know that, hundreds of times worse, conservatively. And I remember I didn't use drugs. And I remember in the eighth grade, in the football field house, over and over and over and over and over again, it turned out this football player's brother in high school had been caught with drugs. And so they told him, go get us a bunch of people, rat out a bunch of people, and we'll let you off. And they even got his little brother in a separate school to go around and beg everyone to bring him marijuana, to sell him marijuana. And then months later, they had a big bust. And it turned out several kids had gone to their big brothers and said, please, my buddy, the cool kid on the football team. It was the cool kid. See how they know how to prey on everybody? They got the cool, one of the cool kids on the football team, to go around to all the kids that wanted to be cool. And he took him months to get them to bring him small amounts of marijuana. That's your stinking degenerate government, while the Pentagon openly runs the opium out of Afghanistan. Openly ships the cocaine in the 1980s when I was in school. It's a predator, criminal government. Most of them know full well what they are doing. Now, if someone gets caught with an aspirin, they get charged with felonies in schools. If someone doesn't put their Ritalin in a proper container, they get charged with felonies. They push the drugs, illegal and legal, on you, and then when they catch you with them, I see reports every couple days of old ladies pulled over. And the cops in these predatory towns all over the country, New Jersey, Texas are some of the ones that pop up the most, Michigan, California, with these predatory small towns, models, just microcosms of the towns above them and the states and the corruption that runs rampant above them. Ladies like say, do you have any medication, ma'am? They'll say, I sure do, sonny. And old ladies like say, do you have any medication, ma'am? They'll say, I sure do, sonny. And old ladies like to put their little pills, their heart medication, and if any of it's prescription, they don't care. They go to jail and they take their car and take their money because you had drugs. Doesn't matter if you had a prescription at home. The letter of the law, we're going to throw the book at you, you old lady. They are passing regulations and laws that are completely unconstitutional and preying on everyone. And all over Austin, and I've seen other cities similar, they have these magazines and newspapers called Busted. And they put all the people's mugshots, and everybody buys them. And it's become a gladiatorial sport, an enjoyment to see all the poor people that have been arrested and picked up. And you read in there, all the families arrested because a neighbor saw them spank their child. Your kids are in the backyard. Your 10-year-old slugs their 4-year-old brother in the face. You come out and you spank him. The neighbor's looking out their window. They call the police. It's not illegal under the law, but the CPS is above the law. They decide it's abuse, and then that's illegal. It's all color of law, and then your child, that very night, your children are in there in the CPS rape rooms. I see reports every day without looking of CPS caught running child porn rings and child rape rings. You see CPS on the news, always big Nelly pedophiles, always sicko women that like little girls, just running everything, doing whatever they want, getting away with everything, raping everyone, enjoying themselves, a huge hell house of torture and pain and misery. Just having their way and just spreading like a cancer, metastasizing all over the body. The country collapsing financially, the GDP shrinking, the joblessness exploding. Everything a lie. 22% real unemployment, unemployment, all the real indexes. The government says 10.2. Everything's a lie. The money's a lie. No silver, no copper in it now. Just like Mexico 20 years ago took all the real metal out of their money. We're just like Mexico now. We're just like North Korea. We're just like Mexico. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. There's no doubt this is a virulent, aggressive, predatory power cult.
All right, everybody. Said I'd like to stop the audio there if I had a couple callers, so I'll go to the phone lines here, and we'll bring them on. Go ahead, 503.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know what the hell to do. Talk about
yep, go ahead.
I don't know.
You're live. Go ahead. 503. Go
ahead. He's saying, like, the money's not real and that the gold is, like, Mexico. I don't know.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. I can barely hear you.
What's that? Yeah, he's not saying anything. I just think, I don't know.
Okay, what's on your mind here, 503?
Well, my question was, do you think that, in fact, that the gold and silver has, in fact, left the United States, or do you think it's just being saved in the National Reserve?
Well, first of all, 503, I can barely hear you. I heard about the gold and silver. I heard what you said there pretty much, but I can barely hear you. So that means that the other callers can't hear you. It sounds like you got a little sugar in your tank. So I don't know what your agenda is here for calling into the show. So I think the gold and silver is gone? Of course the gold and silver is gone. They confiscated it in 1933.
I'll
we know that.
I'll try to fix my phone if you want. And hold on.
Yeah, can you fix it?
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Right, there you go. There you go. That's it. All right. Waited all that time just something told me not to take it. The other guy hangs up, so he was probably his partner there. Probably want to get them both on here at the same time. I'll play a different one here. To see here. Anybody? 657. Well, actually, you know what? I've got sometimes this always chases them off when I make live calls because they get scared because they don't know who I'm really calling. You know, so they think maybe because they know they're running for their lives. I mean, you know, these guys. You call up, you threaten me, you harass me. I mean, what's the what is your end game goal here? I'm gonna reconnect you there, 503. I know who you are. It sounds like Randy. I believe that's Randy. He's called in here before. So I believe that's the guy. Or it could be Ferrara there from God's Rainbow Ministries. So he's part of his Discord crowd here, the scumbag Discord crowd. So what's your goals here? I mean, what's your agenda? I mean, this is what you do when you get off work, or is this your job? Do they pay you to do it? I'm going to unmute you again. Hopefully you be cordial here. Because, yeah, I'm going to edit you out. You're not going to be here. You know, you're going to be heard by some live callers right now, and I don't have too many, so just let you know that. So I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead. Okay. All right. Obviously, he's not intelligent enough to understand what my question, and, you know, this is what they do. You know, I was bringing, and they do this when I get a good message is being brought. I thought that was a pretty good message, actually, for the times that we live in today. But this is what these people do. I can't really call them people. This is the people of, well, these are the things of society that dwell in our society that are the rotten core of our society and really should make us very concerned and upset years ago. And now they've grown into this cancer in our society now that's killing our society and destroying it. And that's what these individuals are. Because if anyone who wants to take time out to call into a show where I'm not, you know, this isn't a joke. We're not laughing and playing games here. There's people that call in here with serious conversation tips and want to make talking points and whatnot. But they want to make Blog Talk Radio into a joke. And they come from this Discord crowd, this gamer site, this cancel culture thing. And that what they do is they attack you. One guy, listen to this, folks. They've done this the second time they've done this. They'll post on Craigslist my phone number saying I got tickets to March Madness or something, and then I got people calling me about that. And then, look, they're probably laughing around. Yeah, that was me, you know. And, and you don't understand. I could have signed a statement and had you arrested. You know, I know who you are. I know what you did. But why am I going to waste my time, you know? Because you're really a nobody. You're a nothing. You're a zero. You're a loser. You're pathetic. You're feeble. You're probably such a loser that, you know, I can't even really go there. So, I mean, I just don't understand. But you can't answer the question, so I'm not going to try. I gave you two, three times to try to answer it, and you can't. So there's no point in beating it up and beating the same topic over and over with you. So just hang up and go away because you're not getting back on. No, you're not coming back on. I'm going to hang up on you as soon as I play this clip here. Let's see here. Yeah, they're part of the God's Rainbow Ministry crowd on that Tony Talk thing, you know. And you know, if that's your thing and you want to go over there and talk about perversion and nonsense and if that's your thing, go right ahead. That's what the show is over there for. Don't come over to the other shows and harass the podcasters and the hosts because they're trying to put together something that they feel is important. You know, go do your important stuff. You know, don't bother. And, you know, that's have some respect. You know, you have none. Zero. You should be ashamed of yourself. Really, you're pathetic. Please let me answer, he says in the chat room. Look, he's in the chat room too, everybody. My phone was messed up. Please let me answer, he says. No. No. Go away. Watch. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hang up on you. Ready? Goodbye. See? There you go. He's gone. You guys can't see it but on my studio screen. I just hung up on him. All right? So go away. Go away. All right. Let's see here. What can we play here to get ready to close things out here? Let's see. I had another one here lined up for everybody that was pretty good. It wasn't that long. So hey, he calls back in. Oh, what's the purpose? All right. Let's see here. That one there, no. Let's see. Well, it was up here. There it is. We'll play this one right here. Here it is. We'll play, I think it's about 6 minutes long. Or do I want to do the other one? All right, we'll play this one. Yeah, it's pretty good. I haven't played this one yet. All right, here we go. We'll play this one.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Sunday, the 9th day of January, 2011. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours. Jim Mars, historian, researcher, professor, best-selling author, will be joining us live because he's a real expert when it comes to confirmed evidence of Manchurian Candidate-type activity with Sirhan Sirhan, Mark David Chapman, John Hinckley Jr., and many others. In fact, you know, I read books he wrote 15 years ago or more breaking down Sirhan Sirhan and Robert Kennedy and that whole situation. And years later, in 2005, 2008, and mainstream news like the London Independent, London Guardian, even Reuters here in the United States, reporting on the fact that they'd done the acoustic checks and the bullet checks and that Sirhan Sirhan wasn't the guy that shot Robert F. Kennedy. That's what the police and others said at the time, and that he was just there firing wildly, and then while his hand was pinned down, shots were still being fired. And we even now know the CIA agent who was there firing the shots from behind Sirhan Sirhan. And obviously the reason we're going to be covering this coming up in 45 minutes is because of the unfolding situation that that happened yesterday morning at a grocery store there in Arizona, in Tucson. Jared Lee Loeffner, they've always got three names, don't they? Poets and assassins. Jared Lee Loeffner, and there's a dead federal judge. He shot the Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords into the brain, but she reportedly is alive and responsive. The brain's amazing. You know, they've had cases in mining explosions where a crowbar is all the way through someone's head, and it's removed, and they're fine. Or they've had cases where somebody gets punched in the temple lightly, and they fall over dead. So we hope for her the best. And I've seen some people out there on the web saying, oh, too bad that, you know, that he didn't get all of Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, the fundamental problem in this country and worldwide is us individually. Sure, the Supreme Court legalized abortion back in 1973, and we've had 51 million dead babies since then. But what's wrong with us as a country that we haven't educated people that this is barbaric and wrong? You know, Congress has gotten out of control because we've let them get out of control. And if more of this happens, the system is going to use this to push a crackdown on the population, and that's going to explode even bigger and cause more dead people on both sides. And statistically leans towards the globalist favor if we get violent. I don't want violence. I want to have a peaceful restoration of our republic. This guy hooked in with a white supremacist, very creepy Fed-run gaggle of individuals, and that adds towards the weight on one side that this was a federal mind control operation, which are very real. I mean, those are admitted in 1977 congressional hearings to be one of the biggest covert, not just CIA, but defense intelligence, overall Pentagon, private university operations ever. I mean, they are obsessed with mind control, erasing memories, creating kind of wind-up toy people who have their memory erased but have a total compulsion. And that's what Jared Lee Loeffner on his MySpace and Facebook and all these places said, I can't rest. I've got to do this. I've got a compulsion. Sorry. Now, that also mirrors what a regular, out-of-their-mind, violent, schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic would do, because they artificially create an artificial paranoid schizophrenia, and then they point it and direct the compulsion that everything's going to be all right, and they're going to be in a heaven, Mount Olympus, Valhalla, Nirvana, great consciousness-expanding moment when they kill their subject. But it's hard to tell if it was a mind control operation or not, because both mirror each other. But it's got the telltale cookie cutter signs there. We'll be breaking it all down when we come back on the other side of this quick break. Jim Maher's coming up in about 40 minutes. I'm Alex Jones. The Drudge Report is linked to one of our key articles. We'll cover that when we come back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be here for the next 2 hours. It is the ninth day of January 2011 on this Sunday edition. We have former Fort Worth Star-Telegram crime reporter, professor, best-selling author, researcher. He wrote the book that was, of course, then turned into Oliver Stone's film JFK. Jim Maher's joining us in about T-minus 40 minutes. He will be joining us from the DFW area. He is a expert on political assassination, both where they just have patsies and have somebody they set up and blame for the shooting, a James Earl Ray, a Lee Harvey Oswald, or a Tim McVeigh type operation where they blame the operation on one of their throwaway puppets. But he's also an expert on confirmed instances and the congressional reports of 1977 on MKUltra, MK Naomi. Mind control. Now, I don't know if this Jared Lee Loeffner, who from his own Facebook photos looks like a complete demon, I don't know if this guy's under mind control or not, but we know that Sirhan Sirhan was, that's even the London Independent and London Guardian, here's the headlines right here, was Robert Kennedy killed by a real Manchurian candidate-style assassin? That's what the L.A. Police Department thinks. London Guardian, new evidence challenges official picture of Kennedy's shooting. Same thing. So that's all come out on that front. Sirhan Sirhan, Mark David Chapman, John Hinckley Jr. We're going to be talking about that coming up with Jim Maher's in about 40 minutes, as I said. By the way, the reason a lot of that mind control questions are there is, and we can punch this up on screen, we're not just a radio show, we're also streaming a video of everything we're talking about at prisonplanet.tv if you want to go over and actually watch it. Here's a screenshot from his YouTube channel. It hasn't been taken down yet. His MySpace was, but we were able to copy that. And the whole thing is mind control. He says, if I'm the mind controller, then I control the belief and the religion. And I've studied the creepy declassified evidence of MKUltra, MK Naomi, the admitted government mind control operation, and the people who are under mind control always believe they are the mind controller, and they always believe they're working for the government on a secret mission. Well, it turns out he told people months ago he was on a secret mission for the government. We have sworn affidavits from Terry Nichols and others, that McVeigh told the guards and others at every prison he was at that he'd been on a secret mission for the government. And then we were able to get FBI documents via FOIA lawsuits, and it turned out he was working for the government. Kind of like Fox News reported 3 months ago, Anwar al-Awlaki, number three in al-Qaeda on 9/11, number one in operations under bin Laden today, secretly meeting at the Pentagon 2 months after 9/11 with the Army top brass, including the Secretary of the Army. Oh, he ran the Fort Hood shooter, who was also a psychiatrist and wrote about mind control. He ran the underwear bomber that witnesses saw last Christmas, the Christmas before last, a little over a year ago, looking drugged and disheveled, being put on the plane without a passport. Later, that was confirmed. Detroit Free Press, Associated Press, 2 months after our witnesses on this show, listeners of this broadcast, Kurt Haskell and his wife, both lawyers, witnessed the whole thing. And the FBI said it wasn't true, and 2 months later, the Undersecretary of State, Mr. Kennedy, came out and said, yes, we were ordered to get him on the plane by an unnamed intelligence agency. AP, boom, in your face, boom, who's running him? A CIA asset, Anwar al-Awlaki, boom. Okay, so for anybody living in denial about this, this is the facts, and I'm going to walk through all of it. But the establishment didn't waste any time. Within hours, they were on his Facebook, on his MySpace, on his YouTube, and I have watched all the videos on there. I spent all my time yesterday, hours and hours today, deeply researching it. I checked all the millions of comments on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, nothing from him, nothing on the web associated with us, Ron Paul, anybody. And so what does the Southern Poverty Law Center do with Mr. Potok? He blames Ayn Rand, the Fountainhead author. We got this clip coming up. And David Icke, can't even get his name right, calls him David Icke, calls him a right-winger. If David Icke doesn't believe in the left-right paradigm, but if he was anything, you'd call him a New Age leftist, though he wouldn't like that term. That's the closest mainline label. I mean, the guy's all into higher consciousness, basically Buddhism and total nonviolence. I mean, now they're getting kind of, you know, guys, a guy that covers UFOs and stuff, blaming it on him, who calls for total nonviolence. I mean, we're going to get David on this week to respond to it. I mean, this is crazy. I'm just glad they're not blaming yours truly. Remember back in 2009, Richard Poplawski, his mother was kicking him out of the house. He had two pit bulls urinating all over the floor. He just got out of the Marine Corps. He was drunk in the early morning hours. He refused to get rid of the dogs. His mother tried to kick him out. He threw a fit, shot three cops when they got there. Within hours, the news said he did it because of me. And then we actually got the contents were made public of his internet. He was visiting CNN, Fox, and he was all over my website attacking me because I'm against violence. And he was a white supremacist. But they blame, and I forced a retraction in five newspapers. But within 2 hours of those cops being dead, they tried to blame yours truly. I mean, I'm the one being death threatened by the white supremacists. Go on the internet. It's everywhere. I'm sick of it. And you know why, don't you? Because we forced it out in the news, and then it came out in the Orlando newspaper 3 years ago that the FBI was creating and running the white supremacist groups and having marches through black and Hispanic neighborhoods. We forced it out that Hal Turner was an FBI national security asset that's now come out in federal court, that talk show host who attacked me every day and sent people after me trying to get folks to do violent things. They don't like it because I know they work for the feds. We have the lawyers on like Jesse Trinidu, who sued and got the documents that the Southern Poverty Law Center was running Elohim City that McVeigh was at. Not infiltrating it, running it. They set this stuff up, and that's why they're after me. And they're very dangerous. Very, very, very dangerous people. Okay? And that's why the white supremacists are after yours truly, because I know who they're working for. They go out and find mentally ill, insane, violent people, and they try to get them to go out and do violent things so they can use that to crack down on everybody's free speech, everybody's Second Amendment. Just like it's come out, New York Times, Washington Post. I just covered it again Friday. It was in Salon, you know, headline. Martinez, he was the latest bomber they were going to have in Maryland. Couldn't cook bomb, couldn't get anything ready. The FBI recruited him, tried to help him make it. They go out and find mentally ill prison convicts and people, and if they're Mexican, they try to make them Muslims. Or if they're black, they try to make them Muslims. Or if they're Hispanic, they try to make them Muslims. If they're white, they try to make them white supremacist. And that's what the prisons are. We have the biggest prison population in the world. And in the prisons, you got the white supremacist wing, you got the Mexican supremacist wing, you got the black supremacist wing, and that's the end of it. And that's, the government actually fosters that and puts you in your wing, and then they're giant colleges of how to be an extremist dirtbag. And then they get out of prison, and the FBI and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all these groups are there to handle them and manipulate them and control them. Now, this guy fits the bill. And we've got an incredible photo of him up at Infowars.com from his Facebook, and we'll put it up on screen when we come back from break. But it's the top photo on our article, and it's updated. Arizona assassin obsessed with mind control. Obsessed with mind control. And, again, the article is up on the Drudge Report. It's one of the top stories up on the Drudge Report. He's linked to our report. Arizona assassin obsessed with mind control. And then we have links to the congressional hearings admitting the CIA does have mind control. We have links to all the mainstream news articles admitting that mind control has been involved in other assassinations. And we're going to walk through all of this ahead of Jim Marsh joining us. Now, I'm not saying he was under mind control, but if we know mind control exists, and we know our government and other governments have been involved in it, and he fits the MO of that, and they're already politically using this out of the gates, we're going to look at it. He may have just been a complete violent, paranoid schizophrenic, which then mirrors what mind control looks like, because they artificially create that schizoid condition.
We've got it, man.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson here. Sorry about that. A little bit of delay there. I had to get back the audio here on the show. I apologize for that. There, I was playing, that's very important, those clips there that I had played as far as the mind control goes. And the mind control, the reason why some of those clips were from 15 years ago and then 10 years ago and then 5 years ago and then today. And what do you have in Washington, D.C. as of lately? This guy came out and said mind control. And what do you talk about here? And I'm going to use an example here. You know someone that's hypnotized by this type of thought. You have a white person arguing with another white person, and they don't see logic, and you can see which person is really the hateful person that's under some sort of hypnotic trance, that it's just they're programmed, and you can't deprogram them with logic and reason. Now, flip that over to the Democrat side, the Democrats and liberals. They're possessed. There's no talking to them. Look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this Ocasio-Cortez woman. She is completely look at her eyes when she speaks. She's insane. Insane. I mean, there's no logic or reasoning with these Pelosi, Feinstein. The way they look at you when they talk, they're just totally, it's hypnotic. But, you know, I just want to say that was a very important to what's happening here today and understanding the times in which you live today. Very, very important. And so the phone number is 657-383-0616 if you want to join in tonight and come on into the conversation. You're welcome to any calls here. Like I said, I apologize for that delay there. I think most people thought I ended the show. But I think I'm going to head over to the NSM Media Network, and I'm going to go over there and patch in through there and call in there through my secondary line, and we'll see what's going on over there on their show. Norris is supposedly on, and we're going to try him out and see if I can patch through there. And if anybody wants to talk on my board, I'll hang up over there, and I'll patch you through over here. Tonight, very, 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 very important. The mind control aspects of the government and what they do and how they handle things and whatnot, and these false flags. Very important. Very important. All right, here. Let's see. I've only patched it through a CO. What was that? I can't remember the number here. All right, here we go. So many phone numbers, they go through your head, and you're very bad with numbers all my life. I don't know why. I can't remember numbers for some reason. Remember addresses. Remember faces, but I can't remember phone numbers. Here we go. Let's call in the NSM Network.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
They're absolutely disgusting. So I gave up being a conservative. I said, I'm going to fight. I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, every bit of it I know. And I have been. And ever since then.
Right here. 770-770. Hang on. Let me mute that there. Go ahead, 770.
Hey, Joe. When you said what you just said moments ago about looking at these people, looking at these progressives, and these leading Democrats and others, and you see the face of insanity or delusion or some sort of psychosis, it brings to mind the fact that you notice how much they chant, no justice,
yeah.
no peace, pigs yep. in a blanket, fry them like bacon. They chant endlessly. They are literally like herds. This,
yeah.
I think there's a great deal of truth in what you're saying, that there's
Manchurian or hypnosis, some sort of transmission going on through the messages and the media to put these people in a hypnotic trance. Like you said, they chant the same things and people get angrier.
They chant
angrier,
and they chant these bumper sticker slogans or these endlessly repetitive doctrinal tropes. No human being is illegal, and over again. You know,
and you
ignoring
confront
any
them.
Context.
You confront them and they go crazy.
I mean, these people are, I believe that they have either been induced or they have self-induced because, probably throughout most of their education, they've simply received indoctrination rather than education. Deductive, inductive, inferential reasoning is something that's totally alien to their beings. They've been told how to be considered morally virtuous and superior, and then they just adopt all of these memes.
Yeah.
There's rarely any real analytical thought posed in it. It's amazing how you hear one, you've heard them all.
Yeah, that's true. And, the thing of it is what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get all these networks and all these hosts together. And if we're really trying to accomplish things, bring everyone's voice together. And there's like a wall between it where there's always somebody in the group that is what you just described. They're hypnotized, and they're the voice of the herd, and they create this wall that where as soon as I start getting everybody together, they come in and they divide it. And they break it down, smash the wall, and they rebuild a stronger one. And I got to climb higher, It's like, because this happened over on the other network that I'm going to be passing through here. I had somebody on that was talking, and this one person that's been in the movement for a long time, and you could hear the anger and the hatred in his voice. As soon as he got hit with some, points of facts, and it was like there was no discussion anymore. I got to go. And they just shut down, they just run away, like a pigeon. They can't face facts, And look, like I said, I'm not putting anybody down. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to wake them up. Snap out of it, man. Snap out of it,
That'll work for people. That will work, I think, for most people. Many people are simply regurgitate this stuff because they literally are not exposed to anything else. They get all or most of their information from New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, and Joy Reid, and all these other imbeciles out there on the left that are, you go in an airport, do you ever see Fox News? No. It's always CNN. It's always turned on. Every airport you go into. And most people get their information from these mainstream sources, and they just don't know any better. I think we can reach most of those people with logic, fact, and truth. Some are just hopeless. We're not going to get them. We just got to accept the fact that some people are simply implacable. They're like the walking dead, and there's nothing you can do to resurrect them. And you'll know them when you hear them and you see them. You'll know them. Now, you have to look at them exactly as you would look at an enemy, to be brushed aside and or destroyed. I mean, figuratively. Right now, I mean figuratively,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, of
That's
course.
What, but the other people... We're talking about who are amenable. They simply have not been exposed to any other worldview. This zeitgeist is totally rooted in leftist propaganda.
That's true. And the thing of it is, Sarge, is that we are, and these podcasts and what we're doing right now, and just like last night, and what we've been doing here for a long time now, we were doing good there, and we're getting, do you see us having a victory here? I mean, I know you went over the analogy. Well, I think you were on the NSM when you did this. Either we're going to win or we're not, or we're going to become SERPs or whatnot. There's only a couple directions we can go, because things aren't just going to go as normal. We're heading either one way or another, correct?
Yeah. I see three options we have. Like I said, it's three. three options. I don't see anything else happening but those three. Now, there might be variations on the theme, but options that are going to happen. And there's only one of them that's palatable to me. That's not becoming a serf by whatever means necessary. I don't want to be a subject. I want to remain a citizen. And by the way, I am a natural-born citizen. I am actually eligible to be president in every way. I meet every constitutional requirement. I am. I'm not Kamala Harris or Barack Obama or even John McCain.
You might be better off to be one of them, Sarge. You may be better off to be one of them. You know.
Well, it doesn't matter these days. You know, citizenship doesn't matter at all anymore. Remember, there's no such thing as an illegal human being. Okay?
Yeah.
We're all global citizens, according to these numbskulls.
I know. It's insanity.
So, but I'm just making the point that, in fact, I am a natural-born citizen. I don't care what anybody else is, and I know what the distinction is. And I don't want to be a serf. I don't want to be a subject.
What do you see? I mean, I never got personal with you as far as your family goes or what you got or if you're married or if you got children or grandchildren or whatnot, but what do you see? I mean, aren't you concerned about – I mean, I know obviously you must have family somewhere, but just not to put out too much out there, but aren't you concerned about your relatives and your family or the children out there in this world today that just are inheriting this whatever, this globalist agenda of and America being destroyed?
I have one daughter that is a mirror image of me. Not a mirror image. She's right down the line. She believes like 98% of everything I do. Completely. I mean, like she's like, you know, right in my
camp.
You
got to be proud of that.
I couldn't imagine anybody more perfect. I got another daughter who's just about almost a zombie, except she will listen to reason. You know, you show it to her, she says, well, I guess that's so, but, and then she'll go on and accept the rest of the things you show her conclusively why it's wrong.
They're dangerous, Sarge. That's dangerous. Those are dangerous, those people right there. But with all due respect,
yeah.
They're dangerous because they go along to get along, you know?
Yeah. And I tell her that all the time. I got another son who's pretty much with me for the most part. Most of my children are kind of mixed in their viewpoints. I only got one that I absolutely consider hopeless. But like I said, I got one daughter that I'm just absolutely, I have no fears for whatsoever. And she understands the peril that this nation is in. She's young. She's like 32.
Roughly. Yeah, yeah.
And she understands the peril she's in. We're in.
Wow. And the thing of it is, they're going to be in for the fight of their lives. I mean, us. I mean, you know, we're getting up there, and
we're going to be dead, man. We're going to be dead and gone.
Yeah.
By the time all this stuff comes through unchecked the way it is now, I mean, the republic will be dead. The constitutional republic will be dead.
Imagine what our country is going to look like. The landscape of our country. How it's going to view things. How people are going to behave. I mean, how they're going to lock everything down and control with the control grid that they have planned. I mean, the scanners and whatnot. I mean, they've got technology now that's so far advanced that I've read some stuff that I can't even talk about, really, that some people have sent me because they know I do this podcast, and I've known them for years. And they're like, we just want to share this with you, but don't, you know, talk about it. And, you know, some of the stuff, the predictions of what I think I have it, but they just said it's predictions. And some of this stuff is freaking insane, man. And if I said it, you'd be like, no way, because it's never been told, only through a few circles, and it's insane. It's insane what they have planned. You wouldn't believe it.
Given the weekly exponential growth in computing technology and computing power, I don't think there's any upward limit to what is possible, except maybe the resurrection of life, and I don't even know about that. I mean,
did you ever hear that robot? You ever hear that robot
Ooh.
Called Sophia?
I've heard.
It's a female robot. Yeah, it's a female robot. Looks just like a woman. They got YouTube videos of it up right now. It's a if you after this show, YouTube Sophia the robot from Japan, and you will see a robot that is looks, acts, talks, instinct, everything reacts like a human being. Has a conversation, and there's nobody with a remote control standing behind her. It's a computer that's growing with information and growing and growing and growing and becoming more and more human. It's insane. I mean, you really got to study that one out and look that one up. I'm telling you, your mind will be like, oh my Lord, this is insane. I can't believe this. You know,
so
and
then we'll
that's
be able
how,
to have
I mean, when
progressives.
I,
then we'll be able to have progressives, Democrats, who are truly soulless, not just in theory or figuratively soulless. They can turn them out by the millions, and then tell them they have the right to vote.
They
will know they've arrived. That's when we know when there's a movement on to create cybernetic rights. Okay, then we will know we have arrived at the true new human frontier, or should I say, Android frontier?
Yeah, I mean, it has a problem. Somebody asked a tough question once, and it has a problem with sacrifice. Like for instance, if you see four people that are going to get run over by a train, I'm just throwing this out there. What would you do? You know, would you save these two people or these children away? I can't answer questions like that because it doesn't understand. It doesn't have a soul. It has no instinct. It has no conscience. You know. So, but it's learning though. It's learning it. And I all day long, about 2 weeks ago, I started researching this thing and watching videos on it and reading up about it, who created it, why, what the reasons are. And I believe they already have thousands of them out there roaming around amongst us, and we just don't know it.
I don't think they're there yet, but look, I don't believe there's any upward limit on technology and what it can appear to create. So, I don't think there's any there yet myself, but I'm not willing to discount anything given the things I've already seen and know to be true. So I'm just going to put that up in the category of I'm willing to wait and see. But I certainly don't think it's implausible. I think it's absolutely plausible. I think the technology still ain't quite at that stage yet that we wouldn't know a machine when we saw it. But then again,
I'll tell you what, Sarge.
And that machine is working with us, then how could I know it was a machine? Because I think the human, right?
YouTube that the Sophia, the robot from Japan. You go ahead and search that out tonight. You watch some videos on that and get back to me on the next podcast. And I'm telling you right now, you'll be like, Joe, I don't believe it. I'm telling you right now.
Well, you know, the hardest thing they say, like in these video games, the hardest thing for them to do is not to replicate human movement and the mechanics of the body's actions. It is the facial expressions. You notice on all, even the best of these computer games, there's still something missing in facial expressions, even though they get much of it right. Even with the ones with the high-end graphics, they just can't quite get that little bit of nuance that we all, that every adult sentient human being knows is a human expression. My dog often has expressions that are closer to human than a lot of the better computer game expressions have.
Well, Sarge, I'm gonna tell you right now. When you do this, I'm actually looking at one of the videos right now. It actually does. And Jimmy Kimmel, she went on the Jimmy. I say she, unbelievable. This thing went on the Jimmy Kimmel show and did an interview with him. And then the robot was walking up beside the robot, and the robot instinct. Hi, how you doing? You know, like, you know, how somebody walks up beside you, like, hey, how you doing? You know, it did it just like a human. It's insane. It's insane. Sophia the Robot, International Day of Tolerance. Sophia the Robot and Jimmy sing a duet of saying something. Meet Sophia's World's First All-Humanoid Robot by Tony Robbins. That's the guy that invented it. And when he first invented it, it does look like a robot and whatnot, but over the years and how it's progressed and learned, and so they, you know, put the skin on there and whatnot, and the hair, it looks like a woman.
It can answer you autonomously when you put a question to it.
Yes. That is correct. It answers you from what it has learned since its inception and birth, I guess you could say, of
man-made.
And
we're certain there isn't some sort of wireless linkage with someone else who can pick up
that's what they say. No, it's all algorithms and stuff like that. It's learning as it goes. It's an actual computer that's becoming human right before our very eyes. like a baby is born, how a baby is born and it grows and grows and grows, and then as a child grows up day after day, year after year, this robot is becoming that. That's how they're doing it.
Yeah, well, I can see how that can work, because, I mean, I kind of experienced that a little bit myself with the, you know, the Dragon speaking software where you can speak into your computer, and it, you know, it puts your words on the paper, and it would learn my cadence, my tone of voice, and it would anticipate what I was going to say. It was amazing. It wasn't very good at first, made a lot of mistakes, but the more I used it, the better it got. Until now, it hardly makes any mistakes.
Wow.
And it's learning.
Wow.
That's a very small thing relative to this, but I do understand the concept, and I do understand how it can work, and scaled up with much more powerful supercomputing ability. Yeah, I suppose it's possible.
Yeah. Well, look, remember that movie War Games from years ago? War Games? It was remember that? And he's playing chess, and he says it's learning, and it had the codes and the nuclear weapons. This is, I mean, isn't it interesting how Holly Weird always gets all this stuff, and years, like always about 15 or 20 years before it comes out and it revealed to us?
Hollywood gets in touch with technologies because they have to work with special effects so much now, especially now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who did the Armed Forces turn to during World War II to help them create a lot of things? Hollywood.
Yep.
You know? Yep. I mean, because they were so experienced with that sort of thing. So, yeah, I wouldn't discount Hollywood either. Not with that respect. Because the people that they can marshal to help them make things.
Wow. It's scary. I mean, I'll tell you what. As you get older, I get older and whatnot. We were just talking about that, leaving it to our children and grandchildren and whatnot, as the future, what we hold. I mean, like you said, there's only three options available as we see it right now, maybe 15 years from now. I mean, you're an agnostic, you said, so you're not really in tune like what we were talking about last night.
Well, I'm not an atheist, okay? I want to be clear.
Okay.
I do have agnostic leanings, but I'm definitely not an atheist. That doesn't make sense. That's just not logical to believe nothing created all. My questions are about the nature of God and our relationship to God, not whether God exists. And I think religion may or may not be imperfectly answering that question, what is the true nature of God and our relationship to God. But I think it is absolutely insane, destructive, and folly to discard the moral precepts, particularly the ones that come out of the Christian religion.
Yeah.
And that's really bad. Not the fact that people might have questions, the fact that they are willing to say religion is simply not true when it comes to the true nature of God. So therefore, all of the precepts that religion has developed over the millennia are null and void. We need to create a new man. That Nietzschean philosophy of a man is God, essentially.
Yeah.
That's what's scary. That's what's scary for me.
Yeah.
And these people are jettisoning, particularly Christian. Remember, our republic, our liberties were founded on the Christian notions, whether you want to admit it or not. They were not founded by deists and atheists. They are Christian concepts of free will and acceptance. It is critical to understand why our republic has the kind of liberties and rights it has. Anybody who says otherwise is a sophist. They didn't read any of the founding debates. They didn't read the things said by the most important founding fathers. They didn't read the Federalist Papers or anything. They weren't deists and agnostics, and they weren't. They were primarily Christian. Most of them were Protestants.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Sarge, I'll tell you what, this is that. I'll tell you what, Sarge, I got to get you on here. I got to give you your own platform one night. You just let you talk. Man, I tell you. Did you go over to the – what's that?
No, well, it's always great to have – look, I don't need agreement. You know, one thing I like, there's a guy named Dennis Berg. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. But he's got this saying, which is my favorite expression. I prefer clarity to agreement. I never really need agreement. All I need is the other guy to make their point clearly and without a lot of obfuscation, because I damn sure will. So you're going to know where I stand on whatever it is. So I don't need people to agree with me or like me or anything else. I mean, it's great if they do. I prefer that they do, but, hey, that ain't essential. What's essential is to make clear your points, to clarify them, and to leave no doubt in the other person's mind what you believe and what you want.
Yeah,
that's
because you're trying to achieve an objective, and you're trying to do it through a logical means, through communication, to convince others to look at your viewpoint and say, hey, this is the way I believe, personally, through factual foundation, where we should be in America and where our history comes from and how we need to progress towards the future, because right now we're heading for a freaking cliff, and we're going over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, let's compare and contrast that with what you believe expressed clearly.
Yeah.
And let's see which one is more likely to be either better or closer to the truth.
Yeah.
And that's why these people are so fanatic to shut down discourse. That's why cancel culture exists. That's why all the censorship is going on. Because their ideas in the final analysis cannot stand up to scrutiny against logically presented, factually presented rebuffs. And counterpoint.
Yeah.
They cannot stand up to it. That's why they're so vocal. That's why they're bullying. They're like brown shirts in the streets of Berlin in the 1930s.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
They literally are.
You're absolutely correct. And the thing of it is that this cancel culture or whatever, this group or this network that started over in Europe, actually, that's where it started. And it's because I talked to a few of them over there, and they're like vultures, wolves. They come after you, and they go and they fight dirty. They have no honor or respect, and they're really cowards when you get them isolated. You know, I mean, really, it's pathetic, really, where they.
Yeah,
I was
struck by one time. It was a Trump demonstration, and there was this guy who was literally coming up to people and pushing them off in their faces, and there were a lot of Trump supporters standing around, but nobody jumped on him and mobbed him. He was going after one guy who was a big, burly guy. Looked like maybe he was a biker or something. And he actually slapped him in an argument. And you talk about messing up. This guy started beating this guy like a little rag doll. I mean, it was clearly some kind of soy boy. He thought he had the impunity to do this to anybody, and they wouldn't hit back. But no one else jumped in on him. They left it to the burly guy and a little soy boy. Nobody else mobbed him and jumped on him. And I noticed that in several confrontations. When you saw the Trump supporters, they were both bigger, but you rarely saw an occasion where a mob of Trump supporters would gang up on a leftist. Whereas I saw, I don't know how many examples of where a Trump supporter or a couple of them were mobbed by these progressives and leftists.
Yeah,
it's instructive to tell you, these people are the mob. They are like a mob. They're like a pack of hyenas.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, they will descend upon you and destroy things. It's like what they tried to do with Kyle Rittenhouse. Remember?
No, I don't know about
Kyle
that.
Kyle Rittenhouse has surely been seriously injured or maybe even dead. And there was an incident just happened in Oklahoma the other day. Where a SWAT team came in there. Oh, it was beautiful, I swear, as far as the guy had taken a correction officer hostage, one of the inmates there, and they had him tied up, and they pulled him and made him lay face down on the table for a bit. It's all captured on the surveillance cameras. It just happened a day or two ago. And one of these other inmates takes a shiv, and he's stabbing him in the buttocks and in the side. But it apparently didn't kill him. It just kind of injured him a bit. Anyhow, they brought him up on top of a stairwell, and another inmate is holding a knife to the guy's throat. The police come in with shields and their guns and their gas masks and whatnot, and this guy's got his knife to this correction officer's throat. And one police officer picks up his 9mm. I guess the shot must have been 7-8 yards, plus he was aiming uphill. He was aiming up to the top of the stairs. With two shots, he brained the guy, killed him instantly, dropped him right there at the top of the stairs. You can see the blood spurting out and all over the floor.
Really?
Beautiful shooting. I mean, if I was there, I'd say, man, you get 100% on them shots. Both shots hit him right in the dome. Double that. Anyway, the family of the guy is suing him, and guess what their grounds for suing the police department? Now, guess what their grounds are for suing?
I can only imagine. Go ahead, give it to me.
Well, here's what they say. He was only trying to bring attention to the conditions in the jail. So I guess
that's
impunity to threaten a correctional officer's life, and the policeman should not use deadly force if necessary to stop the threat he poses to the correction officer. This is the kind of time you're living in with these crazy people.
What would they recommend be done? That's what you posed the question. Okay, you're bringing this.
They're looking
to
for a payday, baby. You know it. You and I both know what they're looking for. Look for a payday.
But the thing is, though, what do they want to rectify? How do they want to change the system? How would they change that situation? What would they have done? What do they recommend the guards do?
Well, they would recommend they do nothing. They let him do his little protest by threatening the life of a correction officer with a knife to his throat. That's literally, I guess, what they would say. Just let the threat continue. He's only trying to show how bad the conditions are. He's really an activist. He's really almost a saint. He's a patron of liberty and freedom. So you shouldn't shoot him at all. You just let it play out.
Well, let me ask you about George Floyd.
You fix until eventually all the conditions in the jail that he's protesting, and then it'll be okay. Because he'll just let the guy go. He's not going to hurt him. You should have known that. He had the knife through his throat, but it was just a gesture. He didn't mean anything by it. I mean, this is
Let me ask you about the Floyd case. What do you think?
The whole thing is on video. You can see everything that's occurring. I would have done exactly the same thing if I had the opportunity. I'd have put a double tap in his dome. I'd have done exactly the same thing.
No, I'm talking about the George Floyd, where the police officer is kneeling down on his neck. What do you think of that?
A beautiful thing came out on that today. Oh, man, the defense scored some points. Camera perspective bias. They were able to show that it looks like his knee is on his neck, but it's on his shoulder blade. They were able to actually show that most of the time that knee was on his shoulder blade and not his neck, which, by the way, happens to corroborate with the medical examiner's report that there was no damage to the soft tissue of the throat or his neck, no bruising, no fracture of the trachea or cornea, nothing.
Wow. Wow. And you know what? They don't see that, though. They won't see that.
And they were able to show what it is. They were able to show using science. You know, we know what camera perspective bias is. How many times have you seen the punch in the movie looking like it lands?
Yeah.
Or when they fire, you know,
when they fire blanks,
it looks like they're aiming right at the other actor, but they're not. They position
the Rocky movies. Remember Rocky and Apollo Creed, how they fought, you know? It looked like they're getting hit.
It's the same thing. They were able to explain scientifically how camera shots are used to make something look like other than what it is. And they were able to show. And then, like I said, they then related the camera perspective bias to the medical examiner's report, which would tend to
support. Hey, Charles, I got another caller here. I got another caller I got to bring on. 314. Go ahead, 314.
What do you say, fellas? It's Pianchi.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. How you doing, Sarge? Haven't seen you, talked to you in a long time.
Brother Bianchi, man, I swear, I heard you last time when you were on Rory's show trying to explain the Constitution to that man, and I guess it just went over his head. You were brilliant. I didn't have to say anything much after that.
You're right, but you're a good Constitutional person, too.
I really appreciated you. You even taught me something I didn't even know. I mean, I said, man, I know this man knows his stuff.
But, you know, on this George Floyd thing, George Floyd's family received a settlement because while he was in custody with the police, they're supposed to protect the man so he don't get hurt. All right, give that. Same thing happened to Freddie Gray in Baltimore. When you got the cuffs on them, they're in your custody. You're supposed to protect them. But now it's a federal trial, and they're trying to charge Chauvin with criminality. The technique that he used was authorized by the Minneapolis police. It didn't tell you how long you supposed to restrain him like that. Well, maybe that's the fault in the law, or should I say the rule. But the man didn't do anything criminal. He was authorized to use that technique in Minneapolis. In other cities, too, some have reformed there. Some have gotten rid of them. Some say we're not doing anything. We're going to keep it the way it is. So you got a lot of emotional crap that's going on in the country, which is spurred on by the media, as usually, and some voices, punics, and now you have what you have, a bunch of ignorance.
Yeah, no doubt about that, man. Ain't no doubt about that whatsoever. You know, I mean, I used that technique to restrain. I certainly didn't keep my knee on for 8 minutes. I mean, but I did it. And it was a well-established, well-accepted. I saw it done dozens of times in my career as a police officer. I used it. And, you know, if you'll notice the video, you watch the entire videos that are available from the various perspectives of the police officer's body cameras, you will see this man is suffering symptoms of heart failure before he even goes to the ground. He's complaining. He's already told the police officers that he'd been hooping, meaning he was smuggling dope in his behind. And he was also admitting to using drugs before he went there. He was complaining about being short of breath. He was complaining about he couldn't breathe. And he repeatedly said he couldn't breathe. The adrenaline was flowing through his body because he didn't want to be arrested. You could see his hysteria was raising his adrenaline level. Remember, he's got arteriosclerosis. He's got a damaged heart from the drug abuse. All of these factors combined to add to the levels of cortisone and everything else in his bloodstream that could contribute to heart failure or pulmonary edema. You had signs of pulmonary edema with the foam coming from his mouth before he went to the ground. He's got foam coming out of his mouth, complaining about he can't breathe. No, there's no doubt about it that the arrest and the stress induced on his coronary system by the arrest contributed to his death. Of that there is no doubt. But look, police officers are not responsible to know your medical condition when you're resisting arrest. You can't expect them to know your medical condition. When you're, even though he had this messed up a circulatory system, he was still a big, strong, muscular guy, and they couldn't get him in the car. They repeatedly tried. I mean, he was 8 or 9 minutes struggling to get him in the car and not stiffen up.
Yeah. I mean, when a guy's spitting stuff like that,
look,
what do you do?
This all is going to add up to one thing that prosecution hates, reasonable doubt. And it only takes one juror just to hang it. You don't have to have all of them agreeing on acquittal or anything. One, hang jury. Then they got to go through this again? Please.
Absolutely.
It probably will charge. It probably will. A couple of times.
The thing to make mention, Sarge, is that today you have such a preponderance culture of noncompliance, disrespect for authority, and I hate to say this, but I can say it because I am one. You see it more predominantly amongst black suspects. And where does this begin then? Well, I hear people always criticizing the police. Well, what are you going to criticize the public?
Look, Pianke, I believe in the rule of law. If a police officer does something wrong, illegal, to harm a prisoner, I want the rule of law to come down on him and have him prosecuted and given the appropriate punishment commensurate with the wrong that he's done. Because it's essential to hold public officials, particularly police officers, to the highest standard. Having said that, there ain't no way on God's green earth I'm going to be prepared to riot or lament even some scumbag who gets himself killed because of his own wrongdoing in regards with actions with the police officers, even as I want to see the rule of law bill. You do understand the distinction, I hope. I'm not gonna lose a moment of sleep about it. As long as it wasn't done with intention to kill or severely harm the person, it just happens because all of these things that involve human affairs are imperfect. All of them. I mean, that's why. Look at these crazy people who are protesting Joe Biden. They want to turn over more authority to the government. We just see government officials that they're accusing of doing this thing to George Floyd. And what do they want to do? They want to give more authority to government officials.
I got a couple other callers here. I got a couple other callers that want to join in here. I'll bring on a private caller. Hopefully we'll see what happens here. Go ahead, private caller. You've been waiting a while.
Hey, so I've been watching this George Floyd trial, and I'm just curious, Joey, have you ever had a knee placed on your neck before?
No, I haven't. Why? Should I have? Does everyone have to recognize this or to be sympathetic? I mean, what's your point?
I mean, my point is that I've had a knee placed on my neck by a police officer before, and oftentimes these police officers, through qualified immunity, get off on a lot of stuff. Like, they're not supposed to know the law, but they're supposed to uphold it, for example. And I'm just wondering, because I know you went to prison, I was wondering if it was a common tactic there for them to pin you down and by your neck.
Well, it's a common
knee on
well,
your
well
neck
look, if it's a common tactic. Listen, you go to jail. It's not just in jail. Look, if you're resisting a situation, how else are you going to pin someone else down to the ground? I mean, how are you going to pin them to get them into custody or restrain them so they stop acting the way they are? I mean, it's a common. Well, you heard what Sarge said. He used this technique before. You know, these techniques. So, you know, it's just a way to it's just the way the human body's made. You have to restrain and stop the situation at hand. I mean, Sarge, what do you think on that?
See, people want these magic solutions. Nobody ever gets hurt when they resist arrest. I guess that's what they want. So they gave us, they told us, Rodney King. Remember Rodney King?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to see eat the sausage. Nobody wants to see the sausage being made because it's pretty damn brutal. Well, see, they had batons when they're trying to subdue a 250-pound resistant suspect who'd already been tossing cops around like they were rag dolls. So they went to the baton to try to subdue them after, guess what? The magical taser didn't work. I got news for you. Tasers frequently don't work on a drugged up, amped up, just out of jail, iron pumping suspect who's determined not to go to the joint. I can bloody well guarantee you I've seen it over and over and over and over again. There are no magic solutions. You're asking human beings to apply imperfect solutions to horrid situations, and it's just
mm-hmm.
going to be like that. That's just the way it's going to be. And thank God I never killed or severely injured anyone in 26 years of police work. But if I could have, and if I had, believe me, I wouldn't have been doing it deliberately unless the situation called
mm-hmm.
for the use of deadly force in accordance with use of force guidelines established by the Department of Justice, the National Institute of Justice, and the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to just add a little bit there. I mean, there's something to be said for deterrent in terms of policing. I think that cops should do more to deter people from doing such things. Joey, I know that you were in prison, so I want to know, how did cops deter individuals in your prison from
First of all, it's not the police jobs to deter anything. Okay, it's not their job. What do you mean deter? You're saying that the police officers – you don't have to – I mean, if you're already in jail, you've already transgressed against society, and you have to pay your price. You have to be held accountable for what you did. So what's your point? I don't understand what you're trying to get at. What the correctional officers that did what they do they have a system or to deter? There's no program there to correct
prisoners.
We know that.
Do they have a system to deter individuals in prison from acting out against them? And should cops bring that out onto the streets as well? I understand that it's a different scenario here, but I'm just curious as to whether that's
possible. Wait a minute, sir.
Over.
Can I ask you a question? How do I deter someone that I've never met before?
Yeah.
I mean, I had one situation where I pulled up into a gas station to refuel my squad car. Okay, because I was a state policeman. I worked in Chicago, and we had a state credit card. We used it at gas stations. And I pulled up there because I was almost out of gas. So I pulled up in the vehicle of my squad car. And right in front of me, there's this big guy. I mean, he looked like the Junkyard Dog from the World Wrestling Federation. He literally looked just like he was about the same size. And he's beating the dog Jesus out of this woman, who later turned out to be his
mm-hmm.
wife. And I've never seen him before in my life. I walk up and say, sir, step away from that woman. That's the first thing I said to him. Stop what you're doing. Step away from her. He looked at me, said, man, this ain't none of your motherfucking business. Get the fuck out of here. And so I told him, you're under arrest. Now, what am I supposed to do? What could I have done to deter him? Well, guess what? He wasn't interested in being arrested. He wasn't.
And by,
he came
and,
at me
and
with
by the
hands
way,
up, and
by
he
way,
was
caller.
A big, he's
yeah.
a big
and
guy.
By the way,
and guess
my
what I had to do? I took out Mr. Baton, and I got busy. okay? I managed to keep him off me until my backup got there and we took him into custody. Now, I never met this guy before in my life. How am I supposed to deter him?
Well, exactly. And caller, by the way, my situation, remember, I worked inside the prison as part of the administration undercover. It's okay. So, yeah, I don't know what you're referring to as why I went to prison or what. I was some big bad criminal out there hurting people on society. I worked undercover inside the prison. It's all documented in the book, by the way. So I don't know what you're trying to say, what the deterrent. So I guess I was a deterrent. I was trying to stop crime in there because I was working to stop drugs from coming into the prison and stop murders from happening on the streets through the gangs and whatnot and the gang activity. Actually, I stopped 7 murder attempts, actually. So prevented 7 murders from happening in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So I don't know what your point is there, but go ahead.
Well, so recently I've been reading a lot of books on social justice, and I personally prefer what social justice advocates have called the wine and dine method, but skip to part 3 and just simply have sex with black men on the streets when they're getting angsty, you know. I just think that this will work a lot more. It will spread love in our communities, and it will definitely
spread love in our communities. What do you mean by love? Well, hang on. What do you mean by love?
I mean by engaging the community in sexual acts. That
engaging the community in sexual acts, you're going to say correct our society. That's what you're saying?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I appreciate your call.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. Let me go to 2-1
He was engaging, I assume, with sexual acts with his wife, but that didn't stop him from having
That's what he was getting at. He was a crank caller, I think.
He was trolling us. I really think he was trolling us.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarge. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hey. What's up, Joey? Hey, it's Randy. The guy messaged me and said that you mentioned my name.
All right, okay, I'm going to hang up on you. Go ahead there, 314. Sorry for you being arrested.
No, I was going to tell Sarge, you was in Illinois, in Chicago, and I've been keeping track since Memorial Day weekend last year up until just this past Friday, which is 323 days later. In Chicago, Sarge, you don't have 4,106 blacks shot by other blacks in that 322 days with 640 murders. I'm not making this up.
I know you're not.
4,106. Where in the heck is the outcry on that? And no white police shootings whatsoever.
There won't be because it doesn't fit the narrative. What happened the other day when it turned out the guy who did the killing up there in California was a Muslim? First of all, they just jumped to the immediate conclusion without knowing anything about anything. He was purely a Christian white male who was a Trump supporter. That was essentially what was coming out. And then when the truth came out about him, he was a Middle East, first or second generation Syrian immigrant citizen. Now he's a citizen. I understand he's naturalized at least. But if he wasn't a Christian male natural-born white citizen, you know, all of a sudden they didn't even say never mind. They just dropped it like a hot potato. No apologies, no retractions, just dropped it. These people are as wicked as anything can be. That's why they're ignoring the situation described in Chicago. Yeah. The reason they're ignoring that situation in Chicago is because now they're not trying to argue with us rationally anymore. They are simply trying to immerse us in narratives so we'll shut up and accept whatever it is they want to say.
Well, what about the guy at the Capitol? There was no mention of his skin color in the paper. None whatsoever. And see, here's the thing. When the picture came out and he's black, and it made mention of him being a follower or, you know, listening to the tenets of Louis Farrakhan, well, now, would that not make him a black supremacist? Because that's the message that you read.
Be logical with these people. Logic has no place in their narratives.
Yeah, well, we talked about mind control earlier, though. Mind control. And the guy said he was under mind control. We talked about that earlier, actually, the mind control program that the government actually has, you know, that they're using upon us, and even in the black community. But hang on, let me get to 858. Go ahead, because I got to give everybody a chance here that I can. Go ahead, 858.
Yes, All right,
you're breaking up. Get off there. Get off the phone. Okay. You know, come on, man. You know, if you can't talk into a phone. All right, go ahead there, Sergeant. Sergeant 314, I'll give you guys a final wrap-up here of the show. We got about 7 minutes left.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, man. Thanks for the conversation. Conversation is a good one. It needs to be had. Whether you agree or not, this needs to be had. The most dishonest hour in the world is when they say we need to have honest – whenever you hear people talk about we need to have honest discussions about race, you know right away you're not going to have an honest – these people don't want an honest conversation. What they want to do is sure. control the narrative and tell you what you're supposed to believe and say and be outraged when they say you say something that's offensive. That's it. There is no honesty in discussion rarely about these topics today. I mean, it's all sophistry, propaganda, and narrative. And something's got to be done to change it because we're going to break up into the worst warring factions imaginable if we don't start telling the truth about things.
And you're right, especially when you have blacks come on and talk against that narrative that they run all the time. I've been arguing with people about the Georgia voters reform. I told them, show me where this suppresses black vote. And here's the point. If it's so bad, one of the U.S. senators, Ossoff, he's against Major League Baseball boycotting Atlanta. You would think he was for it. Sarge, it's more harder to cash a lotto ticket in Georgia because of the documentation and the ID you have to have than it is to vote.
I know. Like I said,
but
the truth doesn't matter.
Though.
You can show
that.
Everywhere. You've got, I don't know any black people who don't want to open a bank account, don't want to cash a check, don't want to get in there, cannot provide some form of government.
That's a good point.
I don't know of any. But they act as though black people are too stupid and incapable and ignorant to know where to obtain them, even when the state offers them for free.
Yeah, then they want
to
throw out their
not
army.
To the white guy, though. But not to the white guy, though.
They prevented the blacks from having a drink of water, man. Out in the hot sun, blacks can't. No, the law says you cannot do any electioneering, passing out water bottles with your picture on them, talking about vote for me, 150 feet within the exterior of the building. You can have
exactly.
beyond
and
that anything
that,
you want.
The law explicitly in its black letter text says it will not be construed to forbid any other type of relief or aid given to people in a voting line, provided it's not done by a political organization with an electioneering agenda. It specifically says it in the text of the law.
No, Sarge, not according to CNN. But hang on, I got 336 here. Let's try this one, and then we got to wrap it up. Go ahead, 336. Go ahead. Hopefully it's an insane caller here, or I'm just going to hang up. I'm having problems. I'm muting. My call board's full here. 336-645.
What we need to do with these individuals is to butt-fuck them right in front of
all
everybody.
Okay, all right,
you're just coming.
All right, everybody, I'm going to go over to the
butt-fuck
NSA.
The shit out of them. Huh?
Yeah, all right, whatever. All right, here he's off. What is your problem, man? Unbelievable. All right. Hey, Sarge, thank you. 314, thank you. I'm going to head over to the NSM's the network now and try to catch the last half of their show and, see what they got to say on a lot of these issues. Norris is on there. Sarge, you had a good conversation with Norris a couple weeks ago on the NSM network. I'm surprised at that one there. I think they're taken back by both of you guys. I don't think they know what – I don't think they could – I don't think they're like, wow, these guys are like – you know, they're like of the same mind. How could that be? Well, guess what?
Well, there's a natural ingrained conservatism in the black community. The problem is that the one thing Democrats are good at is corruption, stealing elections, and revving black people into a frenzy over perceived and imagined racism. Now, I'm not talking about the real racism that actually exists, because there is some out there. But they can literally whip many black people into a frenzy over perceived and imaginary racism. And that's one
and
thing
I can
good
show,
and
I can show you
the natural conservatism that's inherent in much of the black community.
And you know another thing, Sarge, we can show racists that have black faces. But nobody talks about that.
No, they don't. Yeah, they don't. That's right. Well, you can't be racist if you're black. That's what they say now, you know. And that's just being asinine, and you know it, Sergeant. I mean, everyone knows it. But they won't admit it, though. They won't admit it.
Oh, you taking a weapon from them. Racism is the act. It's not the skin color.
Precisely. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, fellas, I got to go.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Hey, everybody that's listening, I'll head on over 516-453-6058. I'm going to head over there and see what the conversation is about. Thanks for the conversation tonight. God bless the Republic. Restore the Constitution.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.